Welcome to Speakeasy with Deneen, a podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm your host, Deneen Milner. Each episode of Speakeasy trains a spotlight on a single word and then deep dives into the many ways it shows up in the African American community. On this episode, the word is beauty. I'm introducing you to a skincare chef who uses ingredients meant to make your skin farm to face fresh. I'm also sitting down with three beautypreneurs who are changing the way Black women think about beauty and themselves. And I'm introducing you to singer-songwriter Somi. Her music embodies beauty with poetic notes and a voice like velvet. We begin at Iwi Fresh Garden Day Spa in Atlanta. The owner, Yolanda Owens, passionately promotes natural beauty and self-love.
More girls at younger age are putting more makeup in. And if you look at the rate of mental health and depression, it's going deep into our children now. Because I think of all this artificial beauty that's driving it.
Yolanda runs Atlanta's Iwi Fresh Farm to Skin Spa. She calls herself the skincare chef.
I am cutting some carrots. Carrots are so good. They're so good for you internally and externally.
Yolanda uses organic ingredients grown nearby to make raw skincare products.
And so I'm gonna plug up my juicer.
I watch her as she tosses the chopped carrots in a juicer, which apparently is a man.
Let's see if he's working. Oh. All right. Calm down. All right, so I put my carrots in. And everything is good.
Once the carrots liquefy, Yolanda mixes them into a white base cream. That cream is made with different oils, waxes, aloe juice, shea butter, and cocoa butter.
And you see how that white base cream ends up turning orange color? And you see all that fresh orange? Isn't that orange? Isn't it so pretty? It looks like sherbet. It looks so good to eat. A lot of people really want to eat our products, but you really could because it's edible. But we're going to feed the skin with this.
And not just any skin, my skin. This skincare cream Yolanda makes with carrots is called 14 Karat Glow. In a moment, she'll put it on my face. But first, I wanted to know how Yolanda got her start. She tells me she used to be a network engineer and more than a decade ago made the switch to training to become an esthetician. She started learning the ropes in different spas and salons before opening up her own business. Yolanda says her dedication to natural beauty goes back to memories she has visiting her grandmother in Louisiana.
My grandmother had a little garden, and I used to hang outside with her in her garden after we would hang clothes on the line, and she would make all type of home remedies for the family. So I inherit that through my grandmother. However, you know, I had eczema as a little girl, and my grandmother like helped heal that through a lot of her home remedies. And so I'm paying tribute to that legacy.
Hearing Yolanda talk about her grandmother immediately makes me think of my family. My dad's grandmother was a midwife in Virginia, and she delivered all of her grandchildren. She had all these remedies that she passed on to my dad. I told Yolanda about it.
Listen, he told me this crazy story. One of his brothers hit his knee. They got into some kind of fight, and he hit his knee with an axe, because that's how they fought.
Yeah, okay.
And he had this big, gigantic gash in his knee. And he told me how his grandmother healed it. So she had him go and get poke salad weeds, or I guess it's called poke salad. And she mixed that with some kind of tea from a tree, from the bark of a tree, and snot.
I believe it.
And then took that and slathered it on the wound and then sealed it with a spider web. And he said his knee was healed within a couple of weeks.
My grandmama would get the baby's, you know, urine, Yep. And she would preserve all the baby's urine.
Yep.
And mix it into all her stuff.
That's I grew mm-hmm. up that way.
Yes. And mix it in like whatever home remedy she was doing.
Yep. And yeah. and that's, you know, that's a lost art.
It is. Right? And you know, and when I was in college, you know, my grandmother, you know how you get your care packages and you have all your little cute, all your little stuff in there. So when my grandmother sent me a care package, I opened it up and it had like some sticks, dirt, it had garlic, onions, you know, all that kind of stuff in there. And it had these big collard green leaves in there. And you know, I called grandma, I was like, what is this? And she was like, baby, that's for you, you know, when you get sick. She said, take that onion, put it on the bottom of your feet and wrap it up. And take the garlic and put it on the palm of your hands. And take the collard green and put it on your forehead. And take them little sticks. She had them little yellow yucca sticks. She said, chew on them. And that will get all the mucus and phlegm that's all inside of your body. It will get all that mucus up out of you.
What a care package.
Yeah.
That's your
care package, girl. And you know, my roommates used to laugh at me about my little care package from grandmother. But then when they started getting sick, they was knocking on my door.
Can you put some of them collard greens on
onions?
My...
You got a piece of garlic. Put some garlic on the bottom of my feet.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
They knew. Right? And that
they
was
knew.
Passed on
yes.
for generations.
Passed on for generations. And that's the thing, is that we have to... You know, we have to keep the legacy alive by living the legacy.
Right.
And then we have to live the legacy in mind with leaving a legacy.
That's right.
Now I'm on this big quest. I do this big component called the miseducation of skincare and beauty. Hmm. And I call it that thing. You know how Lauryn Hill say that thing?
That thing.
That thing. That thing.
Word.
And she said it. She said, we're wearing hair weaves from the European, fake nails from the Korean. She said, it's silly when girls sell their souls because it's in.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Talk to me about beauty, specifically black beauty.
So that's that whole miseducation.
Right.
I think that, you know, beauty got out of hand. I think that's what has happened just in general. It's just gotten out of control through the manufacturers, through the non-regulations, through the lobbyists, through the commercials, you know, all of that that's pushing it in our face and is there. It has, and that's where we got lost.
Right.
Because we're looking at these European women with their natural, that's their hair is naturally straight.
Right.
And they naturally have blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
and they are naturally fair skinned, mm-hmm. you know. And so we're looking at that, and we're saying, okay, that's beauty.
Right.
And then they have all the false commercials that are saying, we're going to take the wrinkles out of your face in 2 days, and we can make you look 10 years younger,
right.
And we can do this if you buy this, and then if you got to buy this, so you got to buy this, and you got to buy that, and you got to buy this. To really, it's all of that anti-aging
right.
is like an epidemic. It's like we are striving, and the thing with black women, we so lost our way because we are the epitome of beauty. I mean, the
Say
melon, the epitome of beauty.
Yes.
We was born with melon. And that melon is the what keeps you looking. That's the anti-aging.
Right.
We was born with anti-aging. We right. was, we got
right.
it.
Right.
We got
right.
it. We was born with it.
I remember, you know, being younger and feeling tugged in two different directions.
Yeah.
Like the one direction was, I didn't fit into that ideal. I'm dark skin. Mm-hmm. I have a round face that
yes.
doesn't have this kind of chiseled look
yes.
to it. That was
yeah.
a big thing.
Yeah, that was like that was too.
Not, right.
Yeah.
Obviously, my hair is not straight.
Right.
That's a very curly,
yes.
kinky hair. And so I didn't fit into that ideal. And I was surrounded by people who made a point of reminding me about that.
Yes.
Right?
Your people,
like,
too.
Like, right, specifically
Absolutely.
My people, because I was surrounded by nothing but black
Because
folk.
You were not, because if you were, the darker you were, the less beauty you
Absolutely.
Were.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if your hair wasn't straight.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and so that's where we got lost.
Right.
we got lost in
that
whole piece.
You know, that hurt.
It does hurt.
That hurt me as a little girl.
Oh, me too. I grew up with that too.
You know, don't get in the pool because the chlorine and the sun will make you black, and that's the last thing you want.
You don't
want
to get blacker.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, okay, well, I'm black.
I'm already black.
How is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm internalizing you telling me that I'm already black and that's not cute. And if you get any blacker, you're really gonna be horrible. Mm-hmm. And then the flip side to that was my mother and my father telling me that I was pretty, but that I couldn't depend on that for anything.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you always get this? You're pretty for a black girl.
Pretty for a black girl.
Now that is such an insult.
People still say that. You're really
insult.
Pretty for a black girl. Absolutely.
You're pretty for a black girl.
What is
what
that
the hell
supposed
that mean?
To mean? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're pretty for a black girl.
You're pretty for a black girl.
My mother, but I remember my mother always telling me, don't wear makeup. It'll mess your skin up.
Yeah. My grandmother always told me that.
And my mother, she only wore lipstick when she went to church.
Oh, but that's the one thing that they wore.
Right, it's lipstick.
They wore that lipstick.
That's right. And it was always fashion fair.
Yeah, fashion fair. Magenta mist.
That's it. That's the one.
Magenta mist.
Yes. That was it. And it was always on Sunday because that was the special occasion going to church.
And then if they wanted to dress up, kind of get fancy, they would take the lipstick and put it on the cheek.
And
call it rouge.
That's right. And call it rouge.
Rouge. Yes.
And so for the longest time.
And they put a little eyeshadow up there.
And a little
eyeshadow
bit
too.
Here, if they were being extra fancy.
Extra fancy.
It would go on eyelid.
But for the most part, they didn't wear makeup.
No.
They just had their lipstick for special occasions.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And she just did not allow me to wear it. And I was sneakier once in a while and get all
But that was
lipstick.
A blessing.
Right. It was. Because I look like I'm 30 and I'm 50.
Hello? And I look like I'm 40 and I'm 53.
And you don't look like you're 40. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yes. But you know, we got lost.
Absolutely.
That's what I say. We got lost and became very unconscious of the beauty. And the sad part is that we are the epitome of beauty.
I didn't think that I was pretty.
Uh-huh.
Until I had my children, my first daughter. So when I looked in my baby's face, I'm looking in a mirror and thinking that I'm not pretty, and I'm looking at this identical twin of mine and looking at her like she's the most beautiful. And I'm like, there's no way that I can look at her and then look at me.
And not know that.
And not know that I'm beautiful.
Absolutely.
And
just,
so she delivered
really
me
delivered
in that kind of way.
And kids will do that.
Right.
Absolutely. They do. Because you're right. You look at them and you're like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is just godly right here.
Absolutely.
And there's no way that I can look at her.
No way.
And think that I'm not adequate or good enough. A whole lot of went into this. And so I focused on pouring into them. So in the way that I wasn't poured into as a child, I focused on pouring into them. After we finished chatting, it was time to feed my skin.
Hey, so you ready for this
veggie
facial?
I am ready. In a quieter room, I lay on a spa table as she applies her homemade cleansers and moisturizers.
So are you allergic to anything?
Avocado is an issue in my body. I don't know if it's an issue
internally.
Outside.
Okay.
Right.
So most likely it should not be externally, but we'll test it out a little bit on your face in certain areas before we start.
While my eyes are shut, Yolanda puts a warm towel on my face that's infused in green tea.
So this is a cleanser here. It's made with squash and blueberries, and we mix in a little bit of Greek yogurt with it.
Mm.
And the beauty of this cleanser is that it cleanses your skin without stripping your skin of all this natural oils. So that's what this is. Are you okay?
I'm great.
Okay, great.
This feels so good.
It feels great.
And to see photos from my visit to Iwi Fresh Farm to Skin Spa, visit speakeasywithdeneen.com. Yolanda Owens dedicates her life to fighting artificial beauty.
But now I want to turn our attention to a trailblazer who came generations before her. I'm talking about none other than Madam C.J. Walker, who died a century ago this year. In the early 20th century, she cemented her legacy by creating a hair salve that helped Black women's hair grow. During an annual business convention organized by Booker T. Washington, Madam C.J. spoke to a large crowd. Here's a quote from that speech, read by GPB producer Tiffany Brown Riddell.
I am a woman who came from the cotton fields of the South. I was promoted from there to the wash tub. Then I was promoted to the cook kitchen. And from there, I promoted myself into the business of manufacturing hair goods and preparations. I know how to grow hair, as well as I know how to grow cotton. I have built my own factory on my own ground.
Madam C.J. Walker, who was born as Sarah Breedlove, became one of the wealthiest Black women of her time. And she's paved the way for so many other trailblazers. I talked to three of them. Pamela Booker of the company Coils by Nature, Melanie Yvette Martin of the beauty website Beautifully Brown, and journalist Alalia Bundles. I started off with Alalia, who happens to be Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter. Alalia tells me Walker helped put Black is Beautiful into the spotlight.
When Madam C.J. Walker came along, she was a poor washerwoman, Sarah Breedlove, born in 1867, right after the end of slavery. Nobody was saying Black is beautiful. Nobody was telling a woman who looked like Sarah Breedlove that she was beautiful. But she inherently knew that she wanted to do something when her hair began to fall out because of hygiene issues and people didn't have indoor plumbing, and she wanted to grow her hair and not be bald. And that's how she developed her shampoo and the ointment that healed scalp infections that allowed her hair to grow back.
And once her hair started growing back, other women wanted to know what she was doing. And that, Alalia says, is how her business took off. But Madam C.J. Walker wasn't the only innovator in town.
There were other Black-owned companies, just like there's an explosion now. There were lots of people mixing things up at home and selling it. She just happened to become extremely successful with national and international distribution. But that impulse has always been there. And then you go into the 30s, 40s, 50s with Walker, Poirot, Apex as the big three Black-owned women companies.
Today, there are hundreds of Black-owned cosmetic companies in the U.S., like Coils by Nature. The Atlanta-based company was started by Pamela Booker.
I went natural in 2007, but my products weren't natural. So I was still going into beauty supply stores, purchasing stuff that was not conducive for my natural hair. Relaxed hair? Huh. But natural, my hair was like, no, you will not be putting this on me. So I decided to start creating products that had great ingredients, but then was still affordable.
Right. And so you created these products, and how did you get people to know that they were there? I mean, you know, with Madam C.J. Walker, mm-hmm. she was able to capture a rapt audience that was ready and willing to do this. But these days, how do you go about getting people's attention? How did you go about getting people's attention?
In the early days, it was like before Facebook was popular, it was blog sites.
Okay.
So curlynikki.com was the haven for all Black people that were
right.
natural.
Right.
So I went there and I was like, wow, it's a lot of women here and they all had the same needs. So they all had the same issues. So I was able to develop actually my line from the blog site, just
right.
hearing the needs of the women.
Hearing those needs and understanding them are two different things. Here's Melanie Yvette Martin, editor of the website Beautifully Brown.
If you don't have Black women in the boardroom or in your labs or wherever, you are not going to get it. It doesn't matter if you care. If you don't have people who represent the community that you're trying to sell to, you're not going to get it. That's just how it is. You have to get over it and you have to be diverse. And then the second thing I would say is, yeah, it's because they are Black women and they know exactly what we need. And I also think that they know exactly what's been missing and what they want to feel. You know, I really feel like for example, Minted Cosmetics, they knew that we wanted a beautiful nude lipstick. It is so hard for Black women to find nude lipsticks. So I think it's a culmination of things. When you have diversity in your office and it's authentic and it's how you operate as a business, it shows through your product. And I personally just feel like that's the only way to win. And I see so many companies doing it wrong and they keep doing the same formula. They think they can throw a few, you know, Black women in a campaign and they want to get that money. It's not going to work.
Right, exactly. We see it a mile away. And we know by now.
It's not going to work now with social media.
Right, absolutely. You know?
Well, we're not stupid.
What kind of role does social media play, Pamela, in, you know, getting your product out there and making people understand that this was created specifically for you?
Yeah, social media is the thing that, you know, got me noticed by Target so many years ago, back in 2013. So seeing that we created a space for women with natural hair and the demand, you know, that they wanted these products and that they were willing to pay $19, $15 for a bottle of conditioner when no conditioner in these retail stores were going for that much.
Right.
So we created that need for them, and social media was the thing to do it. And as Melody was talking about Minted, that's how I bought them, because I saw an ad on Facebook with a brown girl who looked like me putting on this lipstick. That's all it took.
That's all it took.
That's all
it took for me to spend all of my money on Minted,
all
on Juvia.
I just bought the little lip liner set, just yesterday.
I didn't know about that. I'm going to get that.
Yeah, they have a lip liner set, like a lipstick and the liner to go with it. I was like,
taking all my coin.
Purchasing post-haste.
Right. But seeing people don't understand, like, we need that imagery. Like, I was not even in the beauty space. I was a computer engineer, but I remember seeing Lisa Price on Oprah so many years ago before I even had this vision, this thought of creating anything. But finding out that she started in her kitchen. I started in my kitchen, moved to my basement, and then now I have almost a 10,000 square foot facility. So it's like, because I saw her, that, and it was like, wow, I can do that too.
And Pamela has made a name for herself. But you know what? We're not out of the woods yet with beauty. Lots of products don't celebrate Black skin. And one of the things that gets under my skin in the beauty world is the use of skin lightening products. I asked Pamela, Melanie, and Alalia about these products. Pamela weighed in first.
Well, I went to Paris. I was amazed. I went to the, like, not the touristy parts of Paris, but I went to like where the Black folks are in Paris. And I was so amazed to see a liquor store, a barbershop, and a skin lightening cream place.
Oh,
like it is so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
It's a whole, all they sell is skin lightening creams. And they had this Black woman, dark skin. And then they had another picture of her, you know, with lighter skin. And I was so amazed. And then they looking at me, they're like, oh my gosh, like you're from America. They look to us. They look to Americans as the trendsetter, right? So it's like, what do they see when they see popular entertainers? What's their skin complexion? Beyonce
is fair, right?
Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj is fair. Rihanna mm-hmm. is fair. You know, the Black women that they're seeing are very, very fair.
Right.
When they see me, and they was like, you're American. I was like, yes, I'm American. They was like, wow, you know, we look up to you, your trends and everything. But what they see is all fair skin.
Right.
So it's like, we need to show more Black women, all hues, so they can feel more comfortable. Because it's the same when I went to Jamaica. Like, I could not believe you could absolutely see the difference between their face, their neck, and their knuckles.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
gosh.
And it was just it was such a struggle to see these ladies putting this stuff on their skin that's damaging to their bodies.
Right.
But they have certain things about them. They're still not getting the vision, and the visuals that they see are still of people with lighter complexions.
Right.
So we need to show Black women in all hues. So the world, because the world looks to America.
Right.
They look at Black America as the trendsetters.
Right.
And when all of the entertainers has very, very fair skin and blonde hair,
that's what the world sees. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Alalia, how do you feel about the skin lightening trend outside of America?
Yeah, you know, it's really heartbreaking to go to someplace, the Bahamas or Jamaica, and see that people are really feeling that that's what they have to do. And that, you know, you see people who have wigs and who are using skin lighteners because somehow media or their beliefs or their communities have told them that that's what's beautiful. It's very hard to penetrate that, but it is, it just really breaks my heart to know that this is still going on. It just, you know, and it's centuries going on. I mean, I think one of the things when I think about the products that Madam C.J. Walker made when she was first starting out was hair care products and then some products for the skin, witch hazel and just really basic kinds of things. And then after she died, the Walker Company was having some of its products distributed by a white distributor. And because there were some skin lighteners made by other companies who were trying to penetrate the Black community and really play to the vulnerabilities, there was a product under the Walker name that was a skin lightener. And it was after she died. I always like to make sure that I make that clear.
Right.
Because I don't believe she ever, as a brown woman, ever would have approved that. She put her own image on her products, yes, with her face, right, with her hair sort of full, yes, and natural. And that was what she was selling. And somehow this has gotten, it got perverted. And we still are fighting this. And I think, you know, I just, it breaks my heart, seriously, to know that we still are having to raise another generation of girls who are getting these negative images from people, that they're going to school and somebody is telling them that their hair isn't pretty, that their skin is too dark, that they're not beautiful. And so we're always going to have to continue to reinforce this for the girls that we love and just hold our heads high, not let somebody tell us that what grows out of our hair naturally is not beautiful. We have to claim it.
Amen. Yes.
Agreed. And with all, yes, of these products that are being created for us, hopefully that they can see, you know, how they look on us, how they move, how they just make us shine. Like, I want them to feel like I feel when I'm putting on this lipstick and using these hair products and walking out my house feeling like I'm perfect just the way that I am. I wish that for them. I want to thank each one of you, Melanie from BeautifullyBrown.com, Alelia Bundles, an incredible writer and activist and historian of beauty and hair care products, and the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, and Pamela Booker, the founder of Coils by Nature. Thank you so much for this incredible conversation and for honoring me, you know, by giving me your insight and, you know, expertise on such an important topic. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And to hear more from Pamela, Melanie, and Alelia weighing in on premium products and prestige, visit speakeasywithdeneen.com. I'm Deneen Milner, and you're listening to Speakeasy with Deneen from Georgia Public Broadcasting. Now let's hear from an artist whose music embodies beauty. The singer and songwriter Somi blends modern jazz and African music to create incredible works of poetry. Here's her song, Black Enough.
Am I black enough for you? I don't talk the way you do. You call me names and try to hurt me. Spit on the ground, open to curse me. They say blood is thicker than water, but you look like my great-grandfather. Walk by, suck teeth. I'm not black enough for you.
Somi was born in Illinois to Rwandan and Ugandan parents. She told me how she uses beauty in her music to provide a glimpse of humanity.
My name is Somi. I'm a vocalist, a song maker, and a writer.
My skin is black. My forehead long.
In 2014, I made an album called The Lagos Music Salon, which was inspired by an 18-month sort of journey and sabbatical into Lagos, Nigeria. I had no plans of writing an album there. I really just went there for a residency, a 7-week residency that ended up being almost 2 years of my life.
What do they call me? My name is Gutsinzi.
It really was about being a witness to my own journey and to the people around me and to the city around me. And so the salon really became this room of stories and ideas and experiences, and honoring the magic and the tragic things that I was seeing around me. I was carrying around a digital voice recorder, you know, kind of trying to archive the sound of the streets or the ocean or immigration officers or the club or any kind of things that would kind of help me hold on to and archive this sense of place. Sometimes, you know, the story I'm telling might be about a very, what some might call, you know, heavy subject matter. But hopefully we can frame it in a way that somebody is more is first disarmed and caught up in the sonic framing and hopefully the beauty, or how hopefully it resonates with them on a personal and maybe visceral level.
There's a woman on the road. She got mouths to feed. A man died last year. Now she works to the bone. There's a woman on the road. She got clothes to clean. A sorrow is deep and a freedom gone.
You know, I'm interested in the sounding of ourselves as Black people in the world, because that's the experience that I can speak about. The nuance of ourselves, the global constructions of ourselves, the differences amongst ourselves. The inspiration for last song was, I met a woman in Lagos. She had just moved back, you know, the way that many people are, a lot of young people are moving back to the continent. And we just had a wonderful conversation. We were in some wine bar and we kind of realized we had a bunch of mutual friends, and we started talking about all the things that young women who move back might be talking about.
If this were my last song, would you listen closer? If this were my last song, would you lean in? If this were my last.
So I kept thinking about her through the week that, oh, we should, you know, I should get her contact and keep in touch. And at the end of the week, there was a plane crash between Abuja, the legislative capital of Nigeria, and Lagos, which is the commercial capital. And everybody on the flight died, and I found out that she was on that plane.
Everything, the things you dislike, everything, my ego, my pride, everything, the sound of my scream, everything, the breath in between, everything, the first song before, everything. If this were my last song, I might just...
Her name was Duni, and it was this stark reminder that you never really know when you're seeing someone for the last time, you know, even if it's the first time that you're seeing them, right? And so I don't always introduce that song, you know, when I'm performing it live. I don't introduce it with that whole backstory, but I try to just talk about what it means to be present with each other, because we never know how fleeting or profound a connection with another person might be.
Breathe deep, hold the loads for a while.
You know, I feel very fortunate that my parents, my mother and my father, and the sort of tribe of people that I got to call aunties and uncles who look like me but also would validate my own existence and my own sense of beauty, especially as a first generation American child, as a daughter of immigrants, as a black girl, now woman, whose beauty is often called into question, whose humanity is often called into question. I'm thankful that they reminded me that I matter. Nobody else can play a part. Nobody else can steal my heart. I won't say goodbye.
That's New York-based artist Somi. We've created a Spotify playlist of her songs on our website, and we want to hear from you. We talked about beauty. What does that word mean to you? You can reach us at speakeasywithdeneen.com. I'm Deneen Milner. Keosha Howard and Sean Powers produced the show. Our opening theme music is by M. Fassall. We heard additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Speakeasy with Deneen is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. You can subscribe to us for free at gpb.org/podcasts and anywhere you listen to podcasts. And until the next time on Speakeasy, be easy. Thank you.